today, I'm continuing Prevailing Prayer Part 2. Prevailing Prayer Part 2. Last week, when we looked at Ephesians chapter 6, where it gives us the revelation on spiritual warfare, you know, in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 6, I talked about how, again, what I mentioned, how it is important for harmony. Okay? Because the Bible says our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not with one another. Our battle is not with human being, but against the principality. Okay, we got to start fighting the right battle. And in Matthew 18, it talks about power of agreement. Where two agree together, it will be bound. It will be, you know, it will happen in heaven. You know, it will be given to us. And it's not talking about a lot of money. Let's agree to have a lot of money, and then we're going to have a lot of money. It's in the context of spiritual warfare. When we agree, when we are able to love each other, when there's harmony, and when we are able to work together, we will overcome spiritual warfare. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Okay? So it's talking about our relationship with one another and our relationship with God. It's about harmony. Okay? And so, and then in Ephesians 6, it talks about the armors of God. You know, I'm kind of summarizing the armors of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and then it says sword of the Spirit. Okay? The sword of the Spirit. And when you look at the there's six armors, as mentioned. When you look at five of them, it's a defensive weapon, you know, like belt of truth. You don't use the belt to go on the offensive, you know. You know, the breastplate. It's a defensive armor. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a defensive armor. The shoes, you know, you don't kill anybody by throwing shoes at them, you know. But the shield, the helmet. But there is one offensive armor that's mentioned. That's the sixth one, the sword of the Spirit. Sword is the only weapon that you can make an offensive attack on the enemy. Okay? The sword of the Spirit. And Jesus in the wilderness, okay, as he was face to face with the devil, Jesus overcame the devil by holding on to God's word. Every time the devil came, tempted him, what did he say? It is written. It is written. It is written. Okay? And so the Bible says the devil is the father of lies. And the devil deceived Adam and Eve into bringing sin into the universe, right? The sin into the universe by making them doubt God's word. The devil came to Adam and Eve, says, did God really say? Okay? Did God really say? So how are you going to go through spiritual attack? How are you going to fight the good fight? The Bible says a house in the midst of a storm, in the midst of spiritual warfare, when the foundation of the house is not on the word of God and practicing the word of God, the house will fall. The house will fall. To overcome spiritual warfare, our personal spiritual battle that's going on in our life, spiritual battle that's going on in our home, in our church, in the community, okay, you and I have to build our life on biblical truth. We have to build our life on biblical truth. God's word is truth. Say that to your neighbor. Okay? If you build your life on God's word, okay, you build on things that never change. When the storm of life comes, when there's demonic attack, when you're going through trials and temptation, okay, you will overcome. Okay? You will be victorious in that spiritual warfare. Okay? So we see the sword, but then Ephesians 6 talks about prayer. Okay? And that is, prayer is another offensive weapon that we have to overcome spiritual warfare. We have the sword, and we have prayer. Jesus used the Bible to overcome the devil in the wilderness, but the Bible also said Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days. Okay, in the wilderness. All right? And so this is the second part on prevailing prayer. I want to focus on prayer, but not just normal, everyday prayer, but prevailing prayer. I believe this year, okay, this year, there's demonic stronghold, okay? And this is very biblical because the Bible talks about the spiritual realm. And we as a Christian need to know how to operate in the spiritual realm, not just on the physical realm, but on the spiritual realm. What you bind in heaven, you will bind on earth. Okay? And in the spiritual, in the spiritual realm, how do we do battle? Okay, the truth, the Word of God, but also prayer, but not just any normal prayer, but prevailing prayer. And this year, as a church, there are this personal demonic attack that's been going on in our life, in our church, and this year we will overcome. We're going to overcome it together. Daniel chapter 10 talks about, Daniel, he fasted and prayed for 21 days. And Daniel, because of his fasting and prayer, this prevailing prayer overcame the territorial spirit, the prince of Persia. It's a territorial spirit. Prevailing prayer is like a bombing raid on the enemy. Before you go into the enemy's territory, what do you do? What do countries do? They bomb the area. Okay? Derek Prince, not the other guy, Joseph Prince, Derek Prince. Okay? Derek Prince, what he says is that prevailing prayer is like a ICBM. What is ICBM? Intercontinental Ballistic Missile. Okay? ICBM is the most powerful weapon I believe the United States has. Why? Because from anywhere in the world, you can overcome your enemy, even halfway around the world. And that's what we have, this prevailing prayer. We have this spiritual weapon, okay, that we could do. We could use it at church. We could use it in your closet at home. You could do it in the workplace. Anywhere in the world, we could overcome our enemy. We have this ICBM, this prevailing prayer. And so, last week, I talked about prevailing prayer. In Ephesians 6, it says, with all kinds of prayer and all occasion, okay? All kinds of prayer on all occasion. I gave you 3 points. I'm just summarizing still. 3 points was prevailing prayer is fasting. Okay? Some kinds of prayer is prevailing. With fasting is prevailing prayer. And some of you didn't like that, but look at the Bible. Okay? Jesus fasted with prayer to overcome the devil. Daniel fasted and prayed to overcome the devil. Okay? Prevailing prayer, number two, is to watch. It says, Jesus says fast, and the Bible says fast and pray, but also watch and pray. Watch and pray. What does it mean to watch? It's being spiritually alert. Sometime when we live in this, a lot of time, okay? Much of the time, this is the problem. Much of the time, only thing we see is what's going on in front of us. Only thing we see is the circumstances. Only thing we see is what the devil's doing. Only thing we see is what other people are doing. But to watch means that we're alert what's going on in the spiritual realm. What's going on in the spiritual realm. And to watch means your prayer is very directed. It's directed prayer. Right? And then I said, on all occasion, prevailing prayer is persistent. It's persistent. You don't easily give up when you do prevailing prayer. The illustration that is how Joshua holding out the spear. Okay, there wasn't any military significance. Nobody won a battle by just holding out the spear. This is a spiritual significance. From the beginning of the battle until the battle was won, he held out the spear. And we also see with the Jericho wall, it's a stronghold. It represents the stronghold of the devil. It was a formidable enemy. The walls were so high, people lived on it. And when people saw there's no way we could overcome that stronghold, and Jesus tells his people, for 7 days walk around it, on the seventh day walk around seven times with seven priests blowing seven trumpets. Okay? So prevailing prayer, number seven, is God's number representing completion. When you do prevailing prayer, you're saying, I'm committed to keep praying until that stronghold is broken, until it comes down. That demonic stronghold is broken, it comes down. Okay? For prevailing prayer, okay, you gotta understand the devil, what the Bible says about the devil. The name devil means to accuse. He's an accuser. Okay? So the devil, when you do prevailing prayer, he will come to you in accusation, he will slander, he will condemn, he will defile. Revelation 12 says he's an accuser of the church, the brethren and sisters. And the devil will come to accuse you night and day. Okay? Why? What he wants to do, he accuses you so that you will be judged as guilty. You are guilty. And guilt is the single greatest tool the devil uses to stop you from prevailing prayer. Did you guys hear what I said? Okay? Guilt is the single greatest tool that the devil uses to stop you from prevailing prayer. You know, as a Christian, I got excited, you know, about prevailing prayer to overcome the strong man the Bible talks about in my life, to overcome the strong man in my family, the strong man in my church, strong man in this community. And so I started fasting, okay? I directed my prayer against the strong man. And as I started to bind the strong man, you know what happened? It got more intense. The spiritual battle became more intense. The internal spiritual battle got more intense. Lies were more intense. Temptation was greater. Depression starts surfacing again. I thought I was overcoming it. Depression starts surfacing. Fear took hold. Okay? And the enemy, after that, started condemning, accusing, harassing, and defiling. And then the guilt formed in my heart. And that's what the devil will do. He's going to use guilt as a tool. And when there's guilt, what happens? You stop praying. Okay? Your prayer becomes a performance. Meaning, your prayer becomes weak. It's not a prevailing prayer, but it becomes a weak prayer. It becomes a weak prayer. The devil don't mind if we pray like the Pharisees on the street corner, you know, praying to be seen by man. They'll pray for hours in the street corner so people go, wow, that guy's so holy. The devil doesn't mind because that's, the Bible says in Matthew 6, that is a weak prayer. That's not prevailing prayer. It's a very weak prayer. Right? And so when you start the journey of, how many of you want to start the journey of prevailing prayer? Huh? Those who raise your hand, I'm going to be very honest. Prevailing prayer is not for the faint of heart. Performance prayer, anybody could do it. Okay, but prevailing prayer is not for the faint of heart. The devil will use guilt to stop you from prevailing prayer. He will do everything that he can to condemn, to accuse, to defile, to harass. Why? Right? To stop you from prevailing prayer. He is scared to death that you will know who you are in Jesus. Huh? He's scared to death. You know how he stops? How is he able to stop Christians? Huh? And I talk, you know, the devil will bring up old issues. Childhood rejection, abuse, neglect, abandonment. He will, you know, he will point to area of shame. He will point to the hidden sins in your life. He will bring up unreasonable fear, fear of failure, fear of death, fear of the future. All the things that could go wrong. And I see the enemy, I'm focused on prevailing prayer. I get more calls from people go, oh, this is falling apart, this is going on. And great things are happening in our church. Yeah. Huh? It's trying to scare me. You know, old and current bitterness will rise up. Father issue, mother issue. My mom called me last week. It shook me up again. That old mother issues will stir up. Authority issues will get stirred. Why? Guilt will bring out all your insecurities. How many of you, when there's a lot of guilt, you feel very confident? Okay? I'm serious. There's so much guilt in your heart. I go, I am so confident about what God is doing. I am so confident that God will use me. No, there's no confidence. When there's guilt, it brings out all your insecurities. You'll become driven by people's opinion. You'll be driven by pressure. You'll be driven by fear. Then you start to worry about your image, worry about how you look. And one thing goes wrong, okay, you stop praying. One thing goes wrong. When there's so much guilt in your heart, you will stop praying. Your prayer will become a performance. Your prayer becomes weak. It's not a prevailing prayer. Guilt will make you focus on, when you feel guilty, you know what? You just focus on yourself. Me, 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 me. Guilt will just focus on other people, what they think. Guilt will make you focus on the devil and what the devil is doing. Okay? Guilt will take your focus away from God. Okay? The devil uses guilt to harass, accuse, condemn, and keep you from releasing God's power and authority. Guilt makes prayer weak. Okay? I'm not going to just stop there. So what did Jesus do for us? He knows that. Okay? How do we overcome guilt? There's this one truth that we need to understand, okay, in spiritual warfare. Jesus Christ defeated the devil on the cross. Okay? The devil is not going to be defeated. The devil is already defeated. He is already defeated. And as a disciple of Jesus, it's not to defeat the devil because Christ has already defeated him, but to administer to defeat, to take hold of what Jesus did on the cross. Put our confidence in not what I can do or what you can do, but what Christ did for me, what Christ did for you. And what Christ did for you and I, don't stay in guilt, but to take a step of faith out of the guilt. Believe in who you are in Jesus Christ and take the offensive and break down the gates of hell. That's what the Bible, Jesus said about the church. The gates of hell will not overcome you. That means you're taking the offensive, not the devil coming into your home, but you're going to the territory of the enemy, the gates of hell. And they will not overcome you. The only way the devil could overcome us as a Christian. What the Bible is saying is that only way is by bluff. Bluff. Lies. That's the only way the devil overcomes us. It's like, this is the illustration somebody used way back, and I like this illustration. An elephant, strong, one of the strongest land animal, right? An elephant, powerful. But this strong, powerful elephant is scared of a mouse. Did you see those cartoons? I don't know if that's true, but you know, this cartoon, right? A mouse comes, and if the elephant forgets how strong he is and runs away because of a little mouse. How can a mouse do that to a powerful elephant? Bluff. Bluff. Right? And so, in Christ, the devil's already defeated. But his people need to administer that defeat, but we don't because the devil lied to us. Okay? He's bluffing. Okay? What does the Bible say? Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Okay, say that together. He forgave us all our sins. One more time. All right. And then, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. It's a little hard, but can we repeat that together? Which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing to the cross, verse 15, and having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made public spectacle of them. It's not talking about human being, but demonic power. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Okay? How do we overcome guilt? Number one, verse 13, Christ forgave us all our sins. Okay? Christ forgave us all, the Bible says, all, you guys see the Bible? All, don't miss that, all our sin. We are forgiven because Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. Jesus took the punishment we deserve. The Bible says Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin on our behalf. God nailed all the accusation, all the guilt against us on the cross. Okay? And because of that forgiveness, verse 15, the forgiveness disarmed the power and authority of the devil. Okay? The reason we're forgiven, the reason this passage gives, the reason you're forgiven is not just to feel better. The reason you're forgiven is so that you could overcome the devil. You could overcome the devil. Made a public spectacle of the demonic power, triumphing over the demonic power by the cross. Through your faith in Jesus Christ, you and I are forgiven for, I'm going to say this with confidence because this is what the Bible says, every wrong, sinful act that you ever committed. Every. All sins are forgiven. Not some. Not one left. This one was pretty bad, so this one's left. All of them. The devil's greatest tool is guilt against us. Christ's work on the cross gives us assurance that all sins are forgiven. Not 99.9%. All sin. Can you say amen? But it doesn't stop there in this passage. Number two, Christ canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. And this is the second thing that we need to know how to overcome, to do prevailing prayer. Christ canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. It doesn't say sin, it's not, but the law. It's about legal, spiritual, this is the law when it says legal indebtedness. The devil used sin to accuse us of guilt. The devil used the law to condemn us that you are unrighteous. Okay? You're not righteous. And every time the devil comes and shows the law, people will go, you're right, I'm not. No, I'm not righteous. I'm not righteous. But what the Bible says, Christ canceled, blotted out the law as a means of righteousness. Right, this is a very important biblical truth that you need to understand to do prevailing prayer. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. This is what it says, Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Christ is the culmination of the law. What does it mean? Christ is greater than the law. He is so much greater than the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Okay? Our righteousness is not because we follow law. Okay? Law has no more power over a Christian. See, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have Christ's righteousness. Huh? We have Jesus' righteousness. Huh? See, what happens is, this is what happened. Huh? You go to the, you know, because you have to confront the devil if you're going to do prevailing prayer. But a lot of times, you go with your own righteousness. You know, I read my Bible today, devil, so you watch out. And you know what the devil said? But he will point out all the days that you didn't. That 6 hour, you're pretty pure and holy, right? That day, maybe you work really hard and you try really hard and you lived a pretty holy day. Okay? You lived a pretty holy day and you go to the devil. I feel confident because I was pretty holy today. Devil, and the devil will come back but point out all the other times you didn't. That's what the devil will do. You're not righteous. The devil will show you what you didn't do, what you should have done. If you did 99 things right, huh? You did 99 things right, he will point out the one thing that you did not do, one thing that you did wrong. Huh? One thing that you did wrong. You see, it's not the Pharisees that's legalistic. The devil is very legalistic. He's the most legalistic person I know. Okay? The devil is legalistic. And the devil used legalism to declare that you are not righteous. And because of that unrighteousness, you can't prevail in prayer. You can't prevail in prayer. Okay? And so what we do, because of legalism, we don't prevail in prayer, we perform in prayer. And again, Jesus says that kind of prayer has no power. That has no power. You're just praying so that you feel better. You're praying out of duty. You're praying because people are looking at you. You know, here at church, you go, ah! People are around, you know. You go home. It's a performance prayer. It's a performance prayer. And that performance prayer has no power. And that's why, next verse, Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. All right? If you go to Israel on the Sabbath, I felt judged. Just because I turned on the light on the Sabbath. Just because I turned on the light, or opened the refrigerator and the light came on, you feel judged. But what the Bible says is, as a Christian, somebody greater than the law is in you. And what Jesus did on the cross for you, your righteousness is not based on the law anymore. Because, you know, so you are free. It says, don't let anyone judge you because of what you eat or don't eat, because of the observation of the Sabbath. The devil can't use legalism to judge you anymore as a believer in Jesus Christ. See, I need to say this. Christ's righteousness is in us. His grace is given to us not, this is what Paul said, not to give you a license to sin more. Okay, it's not to, a license to sin more. Grace is given to us not just so that we don't feel guilt anymore, so that we could do other, you know, sin again. Right? Grace is given to all believer to get rid of guilt. We need to do that, yes, to get rid of guilt, but also to get us out of the grip of sin. So grace is not just to feel better from guilt, but so that you'll be set free from the grip of sin. So how does that relate with prevailing prayer? Christ's righteousness is given to you so that you could prevail in prayer. Huh? His righteousness is given to you, not just to feel better, so I don't feel guilty anymore. And I could sin and not feel guilty. I could sin and not feel guilty. You get stuck there. Huh? Christ's righteousness is given to you. You don't feel guilt, praise God. Guilt has no more, the devil can't condemn you. But you break the stronghold of the devil. You break down and bind and cast out the demonic power that's in people's lives. That's why you have his righteousness, to prevail in prayer. If you don't have to, so in practice, how are we going to do this? Okay, we're going to do prevailing prayer, amen, as a church. And I know you were excited. I see people getting excited, people telling me, I'm fasting this week. And as you do prevailing prayer, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get spiritually attacked. You will get spiritually attacked. Okay? The temptation, you know, you go, whoa, controlling spirit, temptation, conflict. Okay? You will get spiritually attacked, and he will accuse you during that time. He will accuse you. Okay? And so what do you do? Don't beat yourself up when it comes to prevailing prayer. Why? To do prevailing prayer, you don't have to be perfect. Hello? Okay? You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get everything right. You don't have to be a Billy Graham. You don't have to be a Bill Johnson. You don't have to be a Heidi Baker. You don't have to be, okay, Pastor Sam. I'm a terrible example. I'm a terrible. No, I'm a terrible example. Ask my family. Right? Why? To do prevailing prayer. Because the devil will come when you do that. Go, you know, there are so many Christians better than you. Okay? Oh, you forgot. You don't even, you know, you're just going to be excited temporarily, you know. You're going to give up. You always give up. Okay? When it comes to prevailing prayer, you could tell the devil to shut up. Hello? Be quiet. You come back. I have Christ's righteousness. I don't come with my own righteousness. Huh? You go into prayer not with your own righteousness, but Christ's righteousness. And when you go into prevailing prayer, the devil can't point out what you didn't. He could point it out, but you don't have to listen to him. You don't have to take a defensive position because of Christ's righteousness. You can take the offensive. You could take the offensive. The devil accuses You know, that's what he's really good at. He accuses you like Goliath. It says, went and defied the army of Israel day and night. Goliath. Right? And but in Christ, when we do prevailing prayer, there is no room for guilt and shame. Because we're not meeting the devil with my own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus. Okay. Amen? Okay, let's worship. You know, the Bible we fall into this trap our wrestling match, you know, when the Bible talks about the battle with flesh and blood, that battle is a very close, it's like a wrestling match, it's a wrestling match, it's so intense, so close. And our battle, our wrestling is not with flesh and blood. Our wrestling is not with your spouse. It's not with your children. It's not with your mom. It's not with your dad. It's not with church members. But that's where our wrestling match is. And you know this. I'm going to point it out to you. When it becomes that, it never changes. Things never change. As a matter of fact, you know, the devil is able to come and give you more guilt, more shame, more condemnation, more frustration, more disillusionment. And you see that it never changes and it gets worse. When our wrestling match is with people in our life, and we fight the wrong battle. I know you want to see change. What? We gotta fight the right battle. And I'm calling you and I. I'm calling you, and this is also a call to me from God. Let's prevail in prayer. When our battle becomes flesh and blood, our people around us, you start gossiping, it makes it worse. You start controlling them, it makes it worse. You start criticizing them, it makes it worse. You start just seeing what they cannot do, it makes it worse. And over time, we're being influenced by demonic powers instead of the power of God. We start relying upon our own righteousness instead of the righteousness of Christ. Human effort and human power and human authority, which is weak, instead of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. So just come before the Lord as we worship. As we worship, pray to the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit, God, I don't want to fight the wrong battle anymore. I don't want to point fingers at other people. Open my spiritual eyes so that I may see the demonic power that's operating in me. And as the Holy Spirit reveals that, you humble yourself and you say, God, Jesus, I need you. I need the work that you did. I can't do this on my own, my work. I need your forgiveness. I need your righteousness. I need your authority. I need your power. I need your guidance. I need your help, O Lord. That we will together overcome the stronghold and the strong man that's in our life and in our church and in our community.